Okay, firstly, let me apologize to all the members that are here, the honorable members, minister, deputy minister, acting DG and the team, and our parliamentary team, the media, and all those that are watching this program. I've been trying to get in, but the link was saying that must wait for the host to start the meeting. So apologies for that. I had tried to make the quarter past as you indicated earlier. Are we ready now to start the meeting?
Good morning, ma'am. Good morning, Chairperson. Not yet. Can I please request you to just to frame you because you are out of shot, just to move to your left or move the gadget to your right so that you can be in the middle, ma'am?
I'm in the car. Is it fine now?
No. If you can, because you are in the car, let's move the gadget. Move the gadget to your right. It will put you in the middle. Not as yet, ma'am.
How is it now?
Yes, it's getting much better. Just move it to your right a little bit. I don't know if ever you have got space to put it. And then just make, if you can see me, I need your shoulder also protruded quickly, ma'am. So that we can start at 9:30.
You're saying we must start at 9:30?
No. I'm just saying because we are already delayed now because we are playing something on because
how
we
is it
are
now?
Live. It's,
how is
it's
it now?
Set, but if you can move the gadget to your right, it will move to the left. So yes, it's much, much better. I'm just going to plead that you keep it there if you are in a car. But just tilt it up a little bit because you are cutting your chin. I will need that chin because when I put your name, yes, ma'am. And then if you can just move it a little bit to your right, the gadget to your right. It will just put yourself in the middle of the screen.
How is it now?
You are on the side of the screen.
I'm trying to put it fine.
Yes,
how
ma'am.
Is it now?
It's much, much better, but I know when you go on TV, it's going to cut even more. But
it's raining. I can't get outside.
In the interest of time, then, ma'am, Mado, do we, how much, because we are playing a video now.
How is it now?
If we can see you, ma'am, we can see you much, much better than the original. I think we can live with this one, but please keep it there. It's not
What I will do is that we're just going to open the meeting, let them present, and then drive to the venue. When I'm in the venue, then I'm going to be fine, eh? I just want to open up the meeting now.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Mado, did you talk? We are just playing a video. Let me just check. Mado, please speak. Because we need to start the...
we are playing the promo.
That ad, but how long is... Can they give us a countdown so that Chairperson can start then?
Let me call Lutando.
Okay, it's Lutando. Let me...
Tamufone.
Let me call him.
1 minute, he says. He's listening to us. It's 1 minute.
Okay, 1 minute to air, Chairperson. So you'll get the countdown, Mado.
Yeah, 45 seconds. And by for 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Mm-hmm.
start, ma'am.
Thank you. Honorable members, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, the Acting DG and his team, our support staff from the Parliament, members of the media, and to all those that are listening and watching this portfolio committee, good morning, and apologies again for us to starting so late instead of the 9 that we set for the meeting. We're going to deal with one of the issues that relates to expenditure, especially on the programs that the department is budgeting for. In the last meeting, when we were given the report of the first quarter, we found out that some of the programs the department is not spending as we are expecting it to do to ensure that it spends all its amount that it has budgeted for those programs. And we felt that today you must get a breakdown of why this expenditure is less in some of the goods and services. With those few words, honorable members, you're welcome to this meeting. I will then ask Ms. Martinez to present any apologies, if we have any. Ms. Martinez, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to yourself, honorable members, honorable minister, and colleagues. We've got two apologies on our side, one from the honorable Kobane and the other one from honorable Nxumalo. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Can we then invite the minister and head team to do the presentation? Honorable minister.
Honourable Chairperson, good morning, and honourable members. Thank you once again for the opportunity. Let me start with two apologies. The Deputy Minister is representing us in the Cabinet Committee this morning, so apology on her behalf. And the Acting DG is representing us at a disciplinary hearing in the Bargaining Council today. So those are the two apologies from our side. But I'm joined, Honourable Chairperson, by the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Mandla Sithole, by the DDG of Corporate Services, Mr. Clive Mchisa, and then the Acting DDG for Expanded Public Works Program, Ms. Carmen Joy Abrams, and then our Supply Chain Management Director for Infrastructure, Mr. Tabu Tladi. So that is our team for today. Thank you, Chairperson.
Minister, we then expect you to do a presentation together with your team.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Through you, I will give over to the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Mandla Sithole. CFO?
Good morning, Minister. Good morning, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. I will hand over to Mr. Mazibuga, who will take us through the presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson, Minister, and member of the Portfolio Committee. I will be presenting the report on compensation of employees and goods and services as requested by the Portfolio Committee. I'm not going to go through the entire presentation. Some of the areas, I'll just touch them as I pass, because it's an additional information that was that we thought it would be important that we also include it in the presentation, rather than focusing only on the compensation of employees and goods and services. We thought it would also be ideal if we can also incorporate the adjustment estimate, because we have just concluded the adjustment estimate period as at the end of September, and we also present the expenditure as at the end of September after the adjustment estimates. Now, If we go to slide number five. Slide number five, it shows the original budget, the adjustment that has happened with the net reduction of 346 million. The first column is an original budget that we received in April. The second one is an additional money that we have received from Treasury for presidential stimulus program that will be implemented in the current financial year up until the end of financial year, which is the 31st of March. Then the other program, columns, it will be the movement of the funds, whether it was the shifting, the environment, the declared underspend, and the one that was announced during the budget speech that will result in the net outflow of 346 million. The revised budget for the department, it will now be 7.7 billion, which will be what we are presenting against the expenditure. Slide number six and seven, just giving the analysis in terms of what is in slide number five. So I'll not be going through the slide number six and seven because it's just giving the additional information in terms of the economic classifications and where the money went to and why in terms of the different categories of the adjustment estimate. Then slide number eight, it gives additional information in terms of 158 million that was received during the adjustment estimate. The one that I indicated that is relating to the presidential stimulus program that will be implemented by the department. It will be slide number 8, 9, and 10. It's additional information to clarify what the money will be buying from now up until the end of March. Then I'll move to slide number 12. I'll also not go into details in slide number 12. What I will present, it will be on slide number 14. Because slide number 12 is a summary in terms of the programs to say how did the programs perform as at the end of September with the adjusted budget of 7.958 billion. Then I'll move to slide number 14, which is the economic classification. With the adjusted budget of 7.958 billion, the expenditures at the end of September is 3.68 billion and the expenditure is equivalent to 46%. Now, in terms of the economic classification, the budget for compensation of employees is 558 million. The budget was also reduced by 35 million and the expenditure as at the end of September is 234 million, equivalent to 42%. Now there are slides that explains the spending per program because this is a summary for the department. Then I will go into details when I present compensations of employees expenditure per program in response to the request from the portfolio committee. With the service, they adjusted that 366, the expenditures at the end of September is 93 million, and the expenditure is equivalent to 26%. Now, the low spending here, I'll also explain it as I go to the details in other slides for within services. And among others, the lockdown has also contributed to the low spending under within services. Because if one used the straight line, one will expect the department to be at least around 50%. Now, the details will be discussed under the slides for goods and services. Transfers and subsidies, 7 billion. The expenditures at the end of September, 3.3 billion, and the expenditure is equivalent to 47%. So in terms of the drawings, this is the only expenditure that is in line with the spending trend. Machinery and equipment, the expenditure, the adjusted budget is 10.7 million. The expenditures at the end of September, it's 1 million, the expenditure is equivalent to 11%. Now, there is a relationship between machinery and compensation of employees because the bulk of the machinery and equipment that the department is procuring, it's linked to the personnel. If there is a delay in the appointment, it will also result in a low spending under machinery and equipment because the bulk of the expenditure here, it will be your computers, it will be your office finishers to be procured for the additional appointment in the department. Then I will move to slide number 17. Now, slide number 17. This is in response to the request from the portfolio committee that the department need to present how much is the expenditure and what are the reasons that have contributed to the lower spending that was presented at the end of the first quarter. Now, as indicated, the budget for compensation of employees was reduced by 35 million during the adjustment estimate. The budget was reduced because of the delay in the appointment, and therefore the money that was released is the money that was projected to be underspent at the end of the financial year. Now, in terms of the programs, program one is the one with the highest budget for compensation of employees of 282 million, and the expenditure in this program is 121 million. The expenditure is equivalent to 43%. Program two, intergovernmental coordination, with the budget of 38 million, expenditure is 17 million, equivalent to 43% also. Program three, expanded public works, with the adjusted budget of 183 million. The expenditures at the end of September, it's 79 million, and the expenditure is also equivalent to 43%. Program four, property and construction industry policy, with the budget of 26 million, the expenditure is 5 million, equivalent to 19%. The expenditure here, it looks low in comparison to the average of 43% for other programs that I've presented, which is program one, two, and three. And the reason why the expenditure is low is because of the additional money that was shifted from other programs to this program in support of the establishment of the new branch, which is called the Infrastructure South Africa in the department. Now, the structure was approved around August. Now, the recruitment started around October, and funding was required for that. Hence, the expenditure is low because we have not started spending in relation to Infrastructure South Africa. Now, the projection is that if the appointment are in line with the budget that is allocated, the fund will be fully spent by the end of the financial year. The health program is prestige policy with the budget of 29 million. The expenditure is 12.2 million, equivalent to 42%. Now, overall, the expenditure is 234 against the budget of 558, and the overall spending is equivalent to 42%. Now, slide number 18 and slide number 19. It explained exactly what I was indicating in terms of the programs. But for all the programs, the reasons relating to the underspending is because of the salary adjustments that have not been implemented, delay in the positions that were identified for filling in the current financial years due to lockdown. Some of the positions could not be filled in time. And also some of the employees who have left the department from April to September, and the posts have not been filled after the positions were vacated. Then I will go to slide number 20. Slide number 20, it gives more analysis. It will be slide number 20, 21, and 22. That gives the analysis in terms of compensation of employees to say what has contributed to the spending below the projected guidelines. If one uses the guidelines of a straight line, one will expect, because it will be 6 months of the financial year, one will expect the department to have spent around 50%, but currently we are at 42%. And the reasons for the underspending is because of the 11 positions that we have vacated between April and October, and they have not been filled due to lockdown. The second one is the COVID lockdown restriction impacted on the positions that were identified and prioritized for filling in the current financial year. Some of the positions were filled, but it's not at the level that was planned when we concluded the budget for the 2021 financial year. Some of the positions were filled, but the numbers are very low. Then we also projected the salary increase, which is the cost of living adjustment. So when we're doing the budget, we effected 5% salary increase. Now the public service, no salary increase were implemented from April. Now once the salary increase are implemented, then we'll see the increase in the spending trend. But that is dependent on the negotiations between Treasury and the DPSA. If there is no salary increase awarded to the employees, the department might underspend approximately around the same amount that was effected as an increase on the compensation of employees. The last one is the delay or the non-payment of the pay progression for the 2019-20 performance cycle. So when we're doing the budget, we also factored, I think it was 0.07% that was included as an adjustment for the current financial year. The pay progression, they have not been implemented, then that also results in a low spending for compensation of employees. Then I'll go to slide number 21. So I'll not be going into details in this slide. This slide, it gives more information that was presented under slide number 20, where we indicated the number of positions that we have vacated between April and the end of September, and how much in terms of the levels, because we said we have about 11 positions, how much the department was going to spend if those positions were not vacated during the financial year. The estimate using the full financial year is 3.2 million. So this is the money that will be underspent. And part of this money, it's part of the 35 million that I indicated that was released as part of the projected underspending during the adjustment estimate. Slide number 22. Slide number 22, it gives the analysis in terms of the positions that were filled. Only 18 positions were filled in the current financial year. As you can see, for April, only 5. And the positions that were filled in April, these are the positions where the interviews took place between January and March, and the positions were only filled in April. Some of the positions were filled in May, June, no positions was filled, July, only 4, August, 1, September, only 3. All in all, it's only 18 positions that were filled. The number is less than what was projected to be spent in terms of the analysis when we concluded the budget for the 2021 financial year. Slide number 23. Slide number 23, it gives the analysis of the positions that were advertised in the current financial year. And majority of the positions were advertised early, but today they have not been filled. The process of filling the positions is currently underway, and all of them, they will be filled by the end of the financial year. In total, the positions that were advertised, it's 22. You have different levels. As you can see, we have level 3, level 8, 9, 10, up until level 15. So if these positions were filled from the beginning of the financial year, it is estimated that 20 million would be spent on these positions. Now, because of the lockdown, the position could not be filled, and therefore less would be spent. So as indicated, part of the money that was released to National Treasury as projected, underspending, it's relating to this position that could not be filled from the beginning of the financial year. Now, slide number 24 just gives a summary in terms of the plan to minimize the underspending. The department has developed and approved and currently implementing a recruitment plan to facilitate the filling of the funded vacant positions. This will be including the 22 positions that were advertised. Currently, the interviews are taking place to make sure that those positions are all filled by the end of the financial year. If there are any other positions, they would also be filled if they are part of the funded positions. The last part, it talks about the reprioritization that we have implemented. As indicated, the structure for ESA was approved, I think, around August and September. Now, instead of going to Treasury and requesting additional funding, what we have done from the projected underspending, the funding was reprioritized to provide funding for infrastructure South Africa. So this will be the analysis in terms of compensation of employees. Then I will move to slide number 26. Slide number 26 is about goods and services. The adjusted budget for goods and services, 366 million. 93 million was spent, and the expenditure is equivalent to 26%. In terms of the programs, program one has a budget of 187 million. 59 million was spent, equivalent to 32%. Program two, 14 million budget, 500,000 spent, the expenditure is equivalent to 3%. The expenditure is below, as indicated, that if one use straight line, the expenditure is supposed to be around 50%. The expenditure in this program, it's very low compared to other programs. Now, program three, EPWP, with 123 million, the expenditure is 30 million. The expenditure is equivalent to 25%. I think I need to indicate that included in the budget for EPWP, there is an amount of 46 million budget, which we normally call it the intermediary. The budget is linked to the non-state sector budget, which is under transfers. If you spend the transfers, then you must also spend the intermediary fee that is being paid to IDT to implement the program. Now, we still have, I think, approximately 500 million that has not been transferred. Then we have, I think, 35 million that is linked to the non-state sector budget under the transfers. So if the budget is transferred, then the expenditure will also see the increase of 35 million. And the expenditure, without considering what will be spent, then will increase to 65 million, which will be a huge improvement under EPWP because it will exceed 50%. Now, program four, 21.5 million budget. The expenditure is 1.4, and the expenditure is equivalent to 7%. I think I also need to clarify here why the expenditure is low in comparison to other programs. In this program, this is where the newly established branch for Infrastructure South Africa is located. I think around 9 million was adjusted from other programs to this program to provide funding for the Infrastructure South Africa, for the establishment of the systems that they will be using, that will be also including the traveling and others for the employees that will be appointed in this program. As indicated, that the process of recruitment is underway. As and when people are appointed, then we start seeing the improvement on the expenditure for goods and services for program four. Prestige policy, 20 million. The expenditure is 2 million. The expenditure is equivalent to 10%. So here, the bulk of the budget in this program is also allocated for the state functions. I think it's around 5 or 6 million that is allocated for the state functions. So with the less state events because of the lockdown, then the expenditure is also low. But we are expecting the improvement as we move towards the end of the financial year, because some of the money that is spent here is linked to the SONA. So that normally takes place around February, and the expenditure will take place around March. So what is projected here is that if you look at the last column, we are projecting to fully spend the budget at the end of the financial year. So slides number 27 and 28 gives more details in terms of goods and services, including the original budget, the program, to say how much was the original budget, how much was adjusted, and where the money was identified in terms of the areas that were projected to be underspent. That will be the analysis for each and every program, including program on slide number 28. Then we'll move to slide number 29 in terms of the plan to minimize the underspending. Now, the department is planning to fast-track the procurement process and the appointment of the service providers to ensure the improved deliverables and ensure funds are spent in the current financial year. Where there is a need for the appointment or the procurement of the services, with more people now coming back to the department, we are expecting to see an improvement, because now most of the employees will be here. Things like stationery, then you start seeing the procurement of such items, things like the outsourced services or the consultants where necessary, then the spending will start improving. The department is also ensuring the service providers are paid in time and the spending is aligned to the current financial aid. The department has implemented the consequence management for managers not fully complying with the process, or with the ensuring that the payment are processed within 30 days. Where the officials are not complying, the warning letters are being issued to those units or the managers responsible for payment outside 30 days period. Then I will also move to slide number 31. Now, this is still part of goods and services. This is still part of goods and services. Now, but the item is specifically responding to the request from the portfolio committee for consultant business and advisory services. Now, in terms of the ENEA, the budget for the consultant and advisory services is 20 million. Now, how much was spent? The expenditure is around 4 million and it's equivalent to 17%. Now, what I will present is the spending per program as requested by the portfolio committee. The programs with the highest budget for consultant and business advisory services, it's two programs, which is program one with 11.6 million and program four with 10 million budget. Now for program one, which is administration, the budget is 11.6 million. The expenditures at the end of September is 1.5 million spent, and the expenditure is equivalent to 14%. What did we buy? Or what are we intending to buy with the budget of 11.6 million? It will be the ICT-related services. It will also be the service for the evaluation of accommodation provision program under GRC. It will also be the expenditure linked to qualification verification for employees. This one is linked to the recruitment. Before employees can be appointed or confirmed as appointed, there is a process of verification for that service. Then we are also paying as a department fees for audit committee members and the audit support services for internal audit, excluding the Auditor General of South Africa. If there is any service that the internal audit will need, maybe to do one project for the audit, then they will also source the service outside. And that budget is allocated under the consultant business and advisory services. Program two, with a budget of 863, to date there is no expenditure. This budget was concluded early in the financial year, and the decision not to continue with the academy was taken at the beginning of the financial year. Hence, there is no spending under this item because the process of dealing with the academy is not continuing. Therefore, you are not going to see the expenditure under this item. Program three, 5.8 million, which is EPWP. The expenditures at the end of September is 3.3 million, equivalent to 57%. The service that is being procured here is a technical support provided by international labor organizations. This is the support that EPWP is getting in terms of implementing the EPWP programs. Now the projections is that because 57% has already been spent, the fund will be fully spent at the end of the financial year. Program four, property and construction industry policy, the budget is 10.5 million and to date nothing has been spent. The expenditure is equivalent to zero. In this budget, it is for two items. This is for the support that will be required for the newly established branch, which is the Infrastructure South Africa, and also for the communication linked to the expropriation bill. So these are the services that will be sourced from the consultant And in terms of the projections, this will be fully spent at the end of the financial year. As indicated, that the process for the recruitment under the Infrastructure South Africa has started. So we are projecting to spend the amount of 10 million at the end of the financial year in support of the newly established branch. Prestige policy, 135,000 budgeted to date. There is no expenditure, and this budget is linked to the appointment of the curator. So there is no spending under this item under program 5. Then I will move to slide number 33. Slide number 23 is about agency outsourced services. So these are the services that the department is not intending to appoint people, and because some of them are, they have the starting and the NDP road. So these are more like the project where you need capacity from outside to make sure that that project is implemented, and once it's completed, then you don't have to spend moving forward. Now, the budget for agency and outsourced services is 54 million. And the bulk of the budget is sitting under EPWP, which is 49 million. And the balance, it will be program 1, 1.1, program 4, 2.5, and 702 under prestige policy. As at the end of September, 70 million was spent, and the expenditure is equivalent to 32%. Now, if I go per program, program 1, it's 1.1 million. There is no expenditure to date. And what we are buying, it is the support service that will be linked to assisting the department with the APP for the 21-22 financial year. So we expect seeing the expenditure towards the end of the financial year as we are concluding the process of the APP. Program 2, there is no budget for outsourced services. Program 3, EPWP, 49 million budget, expenditure to date, 15 million equivalent to 31%. What are we buying under EPWP? It's a technical support to municipalities, mentorship support and training service providers for contractors, development, collaboration with South Africa Cities Network. This is what the money will be buying under EPWP. Under Program 4, with the budget of 2.5 million, 1.3 has been spent, and the expenditure is equivalent to 42%. This budget is for the charters. We have two charters that the department is supporting, which is the property charter and the construction charter, and the part of it also includes the official secondment. If there is a secondment, the department is responsible for paying the organization that the employee is coming from. In this case, it's a secondment from the PMGE, and therefore the department will have to reimburse the PMGE on quarterly basis for the money that was spent against the particular individual. So also in this program, we are projecting to fully spend the budget at the end of the financial year. Prestige, which is program 5, the budget is 702. To date, 294 have been spent, equivalent to 42%, and the budget or the expenditure or the service that is being procured is for the outsourced appointment of the household manager. Now, this is the last slide in response to the request from the portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO. Thank you, Minister. I don't know whether are there any additions from the Minister?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to explain and add some more information to the establishment of the Infrastructure Department because of the reconfiguration of government. And just to assure the members that whilst we were still putting up this department, we had proceeded with the preparation, project preparation for the implementation of the infrastructure plan that was adopted by Cabinet at the end of May. And how we were assisted is that we brought on board a technical and specialist support from the Presidential Infrastructure Commission Technical Task Team. And also we have got about 40 people that funded and paid by the private sector. The creation of the department took a bit of time because we had to work with the Department of Public Service and Administration. And DPSA finally signed off the structure at the end of September. Thereafter, DPSA together with DPWI had to create job descriptions and job evaluation. And that has also been concluded now. And we have started advertising to fill those posts the past week. And members will see we targeted the Sunday newspapers and also on the government website. So the advertising has gone out, and we hope that before the end of the financial year, we will be able to bring the professionals from the built environment on board so that we build the internal capacity of government. But while we are doing that, Chairperson, the implementation of the plan is proceeding with the help of seconded members of the private sector and, as I said, from the PICC technical task team. Just an update, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister, for the update and the addition to what was being presented. I now invite honorable members to comment, ask questions on this presentation that was done to us. I will check on the okay, thank you. So far, Honorable Shabalala, you are going to be the first one. Honorable Siwisa, the second one. Honorable Hicklin, the third one. Honorable Njobo, the fourth one. Honorable Van Staden, the fifth one. Honorable Van Skalvig, the sixth one, and the last one is Honorable Graham Murray. In that order, Honorable Members.
Chair, sorry, I also indicated I would like...
I can't see Honorable Tring. So Honorable Tring, you'll be the last one. I don't see your hand that has been raised online, but I am noting you.
Thank
you will
you.
Be...
Thank you, Chair.
Yes. Yes, yes. Can we then follow that order? Honorable Shabalala?
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies for the confusion with the link. My email is not okay this time. And I really want to appreciate the comprehensive presentation. Safe to say that the timing of the receipt of this is still a concern, but for me, it's a work in progress where if there are some questions or issues that you need to raise at any time, I know that we are able to raise. The issue for me about vacancy rate, I am not sure whether we include the entities, but I must also say that it's not a period where everything is just business as usual. More especially, we are at moving towards the post-COVID, but we know what the COVID has created. The inequality, unemployment is rife in our communities. So for vacancy rates, and not being able to appoint is a real concern for me. I remember that at some stage we had a presentation by CIDB, the plan to fill up the post, and we were so happy and supportive. I don't hear anything about that, but I am also happy that the Infrastructure South Africa is moving forward with the appointment. Can we balance this filling of the vacancies? Because for me, the question still remains, what is the vacancy rate when you include the entities as well? The issue of the academy, or the issue of 10.587 for research, my worry and my concern is that we may not be able to spend all this money. Are we looking at the possible budget environment when we move towards before the end of the year? Are we going to spend this amount? Can we be also practical and also be taken on board as soon as possible before you go on under expenditure? And goods and services for me is the catalyst to mitigate the inflation that has been caused by COVID. So I would really appreciate if job creation, goods and services, filling up of the post will really be prioritized by the department. I don't know why are we still talking about the academy. For me, I thought the academy will not feature anymore in this budget. I am covered partly by the indication by the minister about the internal capacity. I'm not sure whether it's in relation to agent outsourced work, because it shouldn't be a normal situation where the agency outsourced consulting jobs to anyone. Why are we not employing people that will have their livelihood also to increase the employment? Because in any case, this is the money that you'll ultimately spend. If not spending, then you'll shift this money, the funds around. I don't know about the SONA and the money that is projected to be spent on SONA. Can you please be realistic? Because COVID is here with us. We are tired of it, but it's not tired of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. It was supposed to be Honorable Siwisa, but I don't see her. Maybe the system has kicked her out. We will then invite her when she is back. Honorable Hicklin.
Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you, Minister. There has been a worrying trend over the years where there is low spend during three quarters of the year, and then come the end of the year, there is a massive rush to make sure that the budget is spent so that the budget is allocated for the following year. I am seeing exactly the same trend now, and we are having things shrouded in this wonderful word called COVID. And I'm really worried about it. COVID is very real. The problems it has posed to the world are very, very real. But the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure is supposed to be the job creation arm of government in many, many ways. That is our mandate, to facilitate projects, particularly for the poorest of the poor. And those jobs are created through the EPWP. I'm immeasurably concerned by the low amount of budget that has been spent in EPWP. And I understand that people talk about this entity that hasn't filed correctly and that entity that hasn't filed correctly, and so payments haven't been made. and then we get a rushed statement that says, we have got 35 million rand that's just ready to go, which will exponentially improve the outlook for the EPWP spend. My question remains, we have not empowered people enough through the EPWP program. That is one of our most important programs as the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. We have to force the pace to get this EPWP program up and running, and up and running properly. And if it means that more time has to be spent empowering the NGOs and all the municipalities so that their reporting structures are better, to enable us as the national department to spend the allocation appropriately, not in the last 3 months of the year, but throughout the year, so that proper records are provided to us, job creation happens, and people who are desperate to put food on their table are taken care of. That is our job. That is what program EPWP should be doing. I'm also concerned, Minister, with the prestige program. We really and truly have to prioritize whether spending on prestige programs in a time when we are so financially restrained and constrained actually cannot be put on the back burner. We have to look at alleviating the suffering of the citizens of this country sooner rather than later. And if that means putting prestige programs on hold until further notice, so be it. Our concern needs to be for your average poor South African. We are in Parliament to make sure that they survive. We are in Parliament to make sure that our country survives. Refurbishment of ministerial homes, refurbishment of vanity projects. I'm not talking about where houses are falling to pieces in the parliamentary village. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about vanity projects need to be put on hold and the money allocated to those programs reprioritized to ensure that starving people eat and are no longer referred to as starving people. Thank you.
Honorable Ntobo, it was going to be Honorable Ntobo.
Yes,
Honorable Ntobo.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes. Morning, Honorable Members. Minister, I don't have a question, it's just a comment that your team is dominated by males. So if you can prioritize females, I'll be happy. The majority of the as females who are majority in this country. Thanks, Chairperson.
Honorable Van Staden.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I have just one small question this morning, and that is on slide 21. Can we just get the reason for the 11 service terminations, please? Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, I'm back. My network is very bad. Okay, Honorable Suisa, then you may come in.
Okay, Chair, mine is only one before my network goes. I see somewhere on the presentation there's a question of money was moved to assist the Department of Public Enterprise to bail out SAA. Doesn't the public enterprise have their own budget for money to be taken away from public work that's already struggling on its own to even maintain even their own buildings and doing their own infrastructure. And then it seems as if everything is going to be blamed on COVID. Every time when we are told, we are going to be told about COVID. And I have a feeling that some of the things are only being blamed on COVID, even though we know that there's always been a mess in the Department of Public Works, and we are forever going to have problems. So how come we are the ones that take money from public works to public enterprise to assist public enterprise when they have their own budget? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable President, thank you, Honourable Suwisa. Oh, Honourable President, you did talk, Honourable Van Skalvik, apologies, Honourable Van Skalvik.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to Minister, Honourable Members, and the officials present. I would like to thank the presenters for making this presentation, and also the department for availing it to us. Even though we are just concerned again, Minister, because we received this presentation at around 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, which makes it very difficult for us to properly engage with it. So if we've been complaining about this issue and you've managed to do it excellently, but now we are regressing again. That's to start off. Then, Chairperson, before I go into the details of the presentation, it seems to me as if we have a Department of Public Works full of actors. The reason why I'm saying it is we have acting DG, we have several acting DDGs, and Minister, don't laugh. We can't have an effective and effective service delivery to our people when we have people in acting positions, because we know that if they are in acting positions, not very sure of the future, it might hamper their own performance. And so if we can really get an indication of how you plan, what is your plan in terms of ensuring that we have full-time positions, especially in senior middle management. But also, we are aware that there are a lot of contract positions. And with those, we mean that people are on contracts and it's been renewed. So far, as many people spending years in the department without being full-time employed. And we can't have this situation in the current economic climate, Minister. We need some swift action in terms of the ministry to ensure that we have full-time positions. So bearing in mind that we have that, can we get an indication of what is the current vacancy rate? How many people do we have in acting positions? How many people we have on contracts? And how do you plan on making sure that these people are being full-time employed? Also, in terms of expenditure on goods and services, I'm really worried in terms of the low expenditure, but also the overall performance in terms of expenditure on compensation of employees and goods and services. We have a low expenditure of less than 50%, and that's totally uncalled for. I also have a concern, Chairperson, in terms of money that's preempted to be unspent towards the end of the financial year, that's now being surrendered to Treasury. Whilst we are complaining each and every end of quarters that we don't have enough money, now we see that a lot of money have already been surrendered because you are preempting to not to spend that money at the end of the financial year. But also I have the concern in terms of areas of low expenditure where you are preempting that you would spend the money in some areas lower than 30%. But now I'm a little bit worried. If you are saying that you are spending lower than your expenditure at the end of September are lower than 30%, and you preempt that you will spend that entire money at the end before the end of the financial year, are we then not looking at fiscal dumping just to spend the money, or are they going to be used or allocated correctly? Chairperson, I have a problem in terms of the when we look at the slide 31, expenditure on consultant services. There's program one that's speaking about 14% of expenditure. And then we talk about internal audit services. So my concern is if we have people in place like critical positions like the internal audit, and you are contracting out or using consultants to render those services, can we have an explanation why you are using it? What does that entail? And does internal audit have the capacity to fulfill their duties then? We look at program three and we see 5.8 million in terms of ILO for technical support. Can we have a clarification on what that also entails in terms of labor intensive methods? Chairperson, the minister mentioned about 40 people being seconded from private sector. Can we get a proper explanation of what that entails and who's paying for those people and the kind of salaries that we are looking at? Because we know that when we benchmark with private sector, we're looking at a high salary scale. So would that then mean that the department is paying for those people, and for which services are we talking about? I think I'll pause there, Chairperson, for now. I hope we get a second bite if I'm not satisfied with the questions that, with the answers that I received. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Franz Kalmeik. And then it's going to be Honorable Tring.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Tring will be followed by Honorable. Apologies. Apparently, I had lost. I have muted my mic. Honorable Tring, followed by Honorable Graham Murray. Thank you.
Honorable Tring, your mic.
My apologies. I thought
please
put it on again. Let me start again. Slide 14 shows a goods and services percentage spend of 26% and machinery spend at 11% as at the 30th of September. Now, these low percentage spends, it must be emphasized, actually has a knock-on effect, a snowball effect on the rest of the economy, where money could have been utilized to help to stimulate the economy and spur the economy on. These low percentage spends actually negates what we are trying to do, what the president is trying to do in terms of the reconstruction and recovery of the economy. So I think it must be stated that where we have these low percentage spends, and I think that the committee is correct in wanting to point out the challenges with regards to these low percentage spends. Similarly, Chair, I think that we have declared unspent funds of 181.023 million and 158.8 million sent back to National Treasury, as Honorable Sharome has indicated. this too has a negative effect on the economy, and sadly has the potential to cause the loss of more jobs where money could be pumped into the economy. It is unspent or it is being sent back to National Treasury. And within this constrained economic environment that we are currently in, Chair, it's unforgivable that we are not using this particular money to put food on the table for those who are already economically depressed. Then slide 17 speaks to the policy research and development. And this is at a mere 19%. Our policy research and development, 19%, a meager 7% of budget spent on policy research under goods and services on slide 26. This, in my opinion, Chair, also entrenches South Africa as a poor investment destination as compared to some of our peers. When we invest in research and development, it has the potential to actually, again, lift the economy and gives us that competitive advantage as opposed to our peers. But when we are spending so little on research and development, we lose our competitive edge. I think that not paying service providers on time should never be an item on our agenda. You know, we should not be hearing our CFO who presented saying that those who do not pay the service providers on time, there will be consequence management. Chair, time for talking about consequence management for not paying service providers is over. I think that consequence management must be implemented. What we should be hearing is not that consequence management is going to be implemented, but what we should be hearing is that consequence management has been implemented on those who have failed to comply with paying the service providers within the stipulated time. And then just, Chair, my final comment or question would be, in terms of the plan that was mentioned to reduce under expenditure, why is it also that we are not able to? So the first question is, how far are we in terms of implementing that plan? Because the presenter did speak about the implementation of the plan to reduce the under expenditure. So how far are we in that plan? And then why is it that we cannot actually source by finding the necessary skills here in South Africa rather than outsourcing and spending millions on jobs that are potentially created outside of the country or other agencies where we could actually create employment internally? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Crowell.
Thank you, Chair. I really appreciate it. I'd like to echo the sentiment of Honourable Sharon in that getting these documents, I mean, this is very complex, and I don't know if I'm the only one, but there is so much shifting and moving of money here, it's actually difficult to keep track of where everything's going and how it's being used, which is concerning, because at the end of the day, we were the only department that didn't vote on an adjustment budget, and yet here we are sitting with monies being shifted and moved all over the place. So I don't feel that we've had enough time to interrogate the document, and I don't feel we've had enough information to really make proper inputs on what we've been told today. I'd just like to raise a couple of issues. I'd like to also echo again what Honourable Sharon said with respect to the 40 people from the public, the private sector. My question around that is who's paying for them, at what cost, and Where are they based and where are they working? So if we've seconded 40 people, have they moved into our buildings? Are they working in our departments? Are they working within their own companies and dealing with information relating to public works and infrastructure? Is this allowed? How's that all being worked and managed? The other thing is that in every presentation we get at the moment, we see different monies being allocated to the IDT. We signed off on a budget at the beginning of the year, and there was a certain amount allocated to the IDT. In the midst of all of that, the IDT is being shut down. It's in a state of paralysis at this stage. It's unable to generate its own monies because it's been hampered by the decision to close it down. But in the meantime, we were told in, I think it was in May, that there would be four tranches of 21 million rand paid over to the IDT, totaling 84 million rand to assist them with operational costs. I've asked on several occasions whether that has happened. In the last meeting, we were told that there was something around 72 million that had been paid to IDT, and now I'm seeing that there's a environment where 128 million rand has been allocated to IDT. So we really do need to get some clarity at some stage as to how much has actually been funded from the budget of the department to IDT, and why, and what amount IDT is managing to generate on their own despite the issues they're facing. The funds to SAA, to the Department of Public Enterprises, and to the National School of Government, where are those funds being taken from? What impact is that having on the budget of the department? In other words, what areas are being cut in order to make those tranches? The same is with the funding to ESA. You know, at the beginning of the year, there was a budget allocated that we signed off on. There was no funding allocated for ESA because at that stage this was still a new concept that hadn't been fully developed. Where has that money come from, and how is it that we're now funding a whole new department when there were no funds made available in the beginning of the year? What impact and where is it coming from? Because surely those monies had already been allocated to other projects and other ideas and other policies, and now we're taking them away. And then in terms of the 158.8 million rand in, for the presidential employment intervention on slide 7, this is a new allocation that has come in from National Treasury. What it said there, that the condition is that they must confirm each milestone, and you know, obviously that needs to then be reported on. Will we be getting those reports, and will we be given full details as to how that 158.8 million rand is being spent, and where? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Graham Murray. Minister and CFO, firstly, let's appreciate the presentation that you have just made for the committee. Remember, we asked for this presentation because we could see that there will be some challenges when it comes to the end of the year. So moving forward, we expect to get all this. We don't need to ask for them. They must be given to us as the committee, because we are the one, we have to support the budget. We are the ones, we have to oversight how you implement the budget that you have set and the programs that you are supposed to do as the committee. There are several issues that have been raised in the budget. I want to repeat, Minister, but we had a challenge in terms of interacting with the document because it arrived late, and we're disappointed because in the last few committees you were acting so well. So I think again you need to remind your officials to do what is expected of them. Though we have received the ones for tomorrow, but they must not do what they did. On the issues of Minister, there are so many transfers, so many shifting around. You know what? Sometimes when people want to utilize money and without it having been seen, where it went to, there are usually these shifting around. So I think we might as well see now, maybe we will make a follow-up on some of the questions, because there are issues that we don't understand, but there are issues that we need to compare with what were given earlier in the year and check exactly what is happening. I remember that you mentioned that there will be employees seconded to the newly added branch, which is ISA in the department, some specialists. So I want to check whether is the 40 that is being mentioned
those specialists that are seconded there. And then I will then second what Honorable Graham Murray has said. Are they then going to be paid by the department or paid by the companies that they are seconding? I just want to check on that, Honorable Minister. Then over to you, Minister, and to the CFO. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Members. Let me again apologise that you received the document so late. I have been checking on it that it must at least be with the member 72 hours before the time. And again, there's been a slip-up, so I will apologise for that, but I will go and investigate the reasons and then report back to the Honourable Chairperson about that. My sincere apologies for that. And also just, I do have a bit of network problems. Sometimes it comes and it goes, but I've made a lot of notes and I will see how far I can answer. I will deal with some of the general issues, Chairperson, raised by the members and give responses there. If I can start with Honourable Shabalala. On the projected spend for the State of the Nation. We have been, for the past 2 years, or the past 2 State of the Nation addresses, we have been able to cut the budget substantially, but it doesn't mean that the full 5 million will be spent on the State of the Nation. And I don't think that we will have a full State of the Nation like we normally have come February, but that is just the projected spend. But the department and the CFO can give more details. I agree with Honorable Hicklin that normally in government departments, you find the first and the second quarter very low spend. And then it started picking up here by the third quarter, and the fourth quarter is a lot of fiscal dumping that's taking place. We are now, we have reported to the committee on the first quarter spend, the second quarter spend. We are about to finish the third quarter at the end of December. And I will suggest that early in January, you know, as soon as Parliament resumes, we can also report on the third quarter. But some of the shifting that members are seeing now is that when you assess the spend on the first and the second quarter, there were some of the projects where you could clearly see that this will not be completed in this financial year. And therefore, some of the shifts to projects where we can spend the money. The point made by Honourable Hicklin on the EPWP is very, very relevant, and it's so true. Chairperson, because we are sort of the conduit to pass the money to the municipalities, to the provincial governments, to the NPO sector, we have got, just last week, 2 weeks ago, I gave a report to another interministerial committee where I've got a list of all the provinces where the spend is quite low. You know, some provinces are now between 15 and 18% of their spend. And what the EPWP has done was to withhold the next tranche of money until the first tranche of money has been spent. Accounting for the beneficiaries, the reporting on EPWP spend also needs a lot to be desired there. And every single year, there will be an audit query from the Auditor General, because the Auditor General will go and do spot checks on the beneficiaries. And this current financial year is no different. There is already a query by the Auditor General. So EPWP, and this is what I always say to them, is that we must remember that, you know, where we fail, we are taking bread and butter away from people that don't have jobs. And so the whole EPWP system, we've created a bureaucracy where things are moving so slow, and we've got a full department of EPWP, and there are some weaknesses. And one of the weaknesses, honorable members, has been that there's been an acting DDG for, I think, almost 2-3 years now. We finally advertised the post, and we went through the interviews, and the qualified candidates were sent to DPSA. DPSA must then do all the final security checks, and then the Minister of DBSA will take it to Cabinet for approval. After having gone to the appointment of 2 DDGs, one for EPWP and the one for policy and research, 6 months later, we received a letter from DBSA just in this week that we did not follow due process in terms of the regulations of procurement, and therefore the post for a DDG must be started over. And I can share that information with the committee. There were also some points raised with the DDG for policy and research, but we've been able to clear that together with DPSA. And then also the Public Service Commission also tracked these processes. And so the Public Service Commission has also sent some queries to us about the procedure that we had to answer to. So 6-8 months later, we don't have, we have not filled those 2 DDG posts. Also on the acting chairperson and honorable members, every time when they will request the minister to allow for an extension of an acting DDG, I will always in the submission say, it is only approved for 6 months and the post need to be filled. Only to find 6 months later, the same request will come. To extend now where I said to Human Resource Department, because we got some help in for the Human Resource Department to help us to fill these vacancies, that we cannot continue to have people acting almost permanently in those positions. So yes, Chairperson, we do have some challenges there, and the DDG for HR and Corporate Services is on the line. He must also account to the committee about what are the problems that we are facing here. On the issue of prestige, honorable members, you were concerned about the budget. I think what is shown here is that the budget of prestige is being reduced. I just don't know on which page it is. And then I agree with honorable members that this department is dominated by males. We've got at least 52% or more males in the department, and just a little bit over 30% female. So in filling all of the posts, both the DM and myself have instructed that we must have a bias towards bringing in more females. But this is sort of a trend in government as a whole. So we do have a plan now to make sure that we bring in more women in senior positions. The prestige project also, I know the members went to go and visit the villages, and we are waiting for your report. We have also been engaging with the presiding officers around all of those projects. Many of those projects were conceptualized when I look at the history of removing the asbestos units. It's coming on from 2006. But again, you know, we will take advice from the honorable members because it does impact on the honorable members. Your living conditions, living in an asbestos house is not safe at all. Honorable Sawisa, on the money to public enterprises, that was all departments were requested to make a contribution to the 10.5 billion rand towards SAA, because National Treasury were not able to raise that funding from commercial banks. As we understand, a part of the 10.5 billion will also be used for the retrenchment of workers, retrenchment packages, and we've also been told was to do the last restructuring before SAA is going to they're going to create this new entity, the new airline. So I think Honourable Graham also raised the same point as to what will be the impact on the department of the 234 million. I think that we have released to SAA. I think the CFO and the members of the finance department can answer. Honorable Graham also raised the issue of the 158 million. 158 million is part of the economic stimulus package from the presidency. We can give a full report to the committee. We have advertised early in October, and as we are speaking now, we are busy with interviews, and it's going to create a just at 1,067 or just over 1,000 posts that's going to be created, but we can bring a full report to the committee. Also on the issues of IDT raised by the Honourable Graham, again, as you can see, we continue to fund IDT because we must minimise the impact of on service delivery within the IDT. Although we must get permission from National Treasury. And as we've reported 2 weeks ago to the members, that the support to IDT is conditional, subject to Section 49 of the PMFA and subject to Section 38 of the PMFA. But again, even the contracts for all the professional staff and the core staff of IDT, all the contracts have been extended until the 31st of March 2021. But as you know, we've got ongoing processes with IDT. It was discussed at FOSAD, which is the DG Forum. It was also discussed at the Economic Cluster last week, Wednesday. In next week, it will be discussed at the Cabinet Committee, and hopefully we can then get a cap memo to be considered by Cabinet. And now, IDT has not been closed down, like some of the members insinuate. The processes of the options available for IDT will certainly be discussed by Cabinet, where a final decision will be made. Just on the issue of contracts also, yes, I agree with the contracts. Some of these contracts become permanent. And it's not fair on the people who are working in these contracts because they also have expectations. So if you every year renew contracts, there are expectations from the workers. And again, I think DDG Clive must answer to that. On the 40 people seconded by the private sector, they are not paid for by the department. They are professionals that are working in 8 working groups. So it is time specific. You know, if they can give us 3 hours or 4 hours, they're not full time reporting to us, like getting into the office on a daily basis. The 40 seconded from the private sector experts are from multilateral development banks, from commercial banks and other technical experts in the infrastructure delivery value chain. Then we also have retired professionals that is being seconded by the private sector institution. And then ISA also got a component called infrastructure delivery management. So the technical side and the financial side of that working group, it's a combination of the expertise that we have within government, within the PICC technical task team. All of those officials, they're highly, highly specialized officials in the PICC technical task team. They're all working together. And then we only have a full-time secretariat within ISA to coordinate the 40 professionals and how they work within the working groups. So it's almost on a needs basis, Chairperson, when we need specialist advice, say a property economist or a land economist, then we draw from that expertise into the department. So it is not, they're not being paid by the department. The department only pays the secretariat that is coordinating them. Then there was something about the policy in research. Policy in research is another example where we've had an acting person for almost 2 years. That is one of the posts that we hope that will now be approved by Cabinet before the end of the year. It has gone through the DPSA process, the Public Service Commission process that is driven by the Minister of DPSA, and then the Minister of DPSA will then finally take it to Cabinet. I think, Chairperson, I was just answering the general ones. I will give over to the CFO to deal with the details. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Minister. I think the CFO.
Thank you, Chairperson and Minister. Let me then start with the concerns that the members have raised around the issue of underspending and lots of shifting of budget. I do accept that sometimes there is a tendency to blame COVID-19 and all that, but I think it became a reality in the department. I think we are all learning out of this. I must indicate in the last financial year, we were able to spend overall budget of about 98%. Which then the history can then tell us that in the past we've tried to spend our budget. But I must also indicate the shifting of the budget. Treasurer actually came to us to say, look, given that in most departments spending will be affected, the country is not doing well economically, we need to declare any amount that we believe we are not going to spend, which we did. And actually that process happened two times. There was a COVID-19 where we had to shift funds. And also there was a process where Treasury reduced the budget in anticipation that we are not going to spend. So there were a lot of such engagements where Treasury would come to us to further cut the budget. The Minister has already addressed also the SAA support where it was even imposed to us as the department, but at least we were able to shift funds around that. Then the issue of consequence management on daily days that has been also highlighted. Actually, consequence management has been implemented. They're about more than 42 officials, including the regional managers, were the DG sent letters why they must not be charged for not paying service providers within 30 days. Managers have responded to that. We are busy evaluating the responses. So there are a lot of actions that are being taken. And as a CFO, I'm having weekly meetings with all the regions to make sure that service providers are paid within 30 days. And we have to report to the minister on weekly basis, every Thursday. So there are a lot of emphasis that the department has put in that area. Then the question on internal audit, I must indicate internal audit, they do have a capacity where they are able to deal with their daily work in terms of the audit. But at year end, there are a lot of competing priorities for them, like reviewing of the financial statements before we submit to AG. And there are specific requirements also that the audit committee expect internal audit to do where they will be given projects. So as a result, they need to then get the services of some accounting firms for them to deliver on that mandate. And I must also emphasize, AG, they place reliance on the work of internal audit because of the quality of the audit that our internal audit is doing. There are also details that Aaron will share on specific ones like the ESA, where the funding comes from, as well as the SAA. Aaron, can you deal with that?
Thank you, CFO. I will start with the NSG and SAA. If you look on slide number 5, under the column for shifting of funds between the vote. So this is the mandate moved from the department to other votes, which will be National School of Government and Department of Public Enterprise. Now, in terms of the programs, we have 18 million that was adjusted from program one. We have 225 million that was adjusted under program three, which is expanded public works. And we have 34 million that was adjusted from program four. Now, in terms of the economic classification, the table below, you have 44 million that was adjusted under goods and services. The full amount went to National School of Government. It was from goods and services, the projected underspending under goods and services. And the balance of 234, that's the money that was provided for SAA, which came from 34 million under the item for departmental agencies and accounts, and the balance of 200 million came from the non-profit institutions. And when I moved to the reprioritization of funding for establishment of the infrastructure South Africa, if you move to slide number 18 under program one, the last sentence there, it shows that we have implemented 9.2 million from program one as a reprioritization under a program one administration. The last sentence there, it shows that the money moved from this program to program four to provide funding for compensation of employees. This money was projected to be underspent in this program. Now, if we move to slide number 28, slide number 28, it gives clarity in terms of how much money was moved from program 5. So here it says program 5 expenditures at the end of September, 2 million, which is equivalent to 10% of the adjusted budget of 20.4 million. The original budget allocation was 47 million, and the net amount of 21.7 million was adjusted during the adjustment process. Part of the adjustment here, it moved to program four, so which is approximately 11 million that was provided to assist the infrastructure South Africa. Thank you very much.
Any other additions?
They will be from my side, Chair, if you'll allow me.
Yeah, Clive from DG Corporate Services. Thank you very much, Chair, but also let me express thanks to the honorable members and the questions that have been shared with us. I have deliberately included within my team the Chief Director HRM together with the Director Recruitment so that they begin to experience the kind of challenges and pressures we receive not only from this forum, but from ministry, from the audit committee, even from ESCO itself, in respect of us needing to accelerate the drive on recruitment. Now, this is the story of our lives. Minister, even last night when we had a meeting with her, she was raising the very same issues around the need to us to push the recruitment. But maybe to have a structured response, let me start first and foremost and share with the committee that the main vote, GPW main vote and the programs that are under discussion, they consist of 683 permanently filled positions and 84 vacancies, the total of 767. The vacancy rate is 11%, short of 1% of the norm set by the DBSA of 10%. Now, the 84, we're not even certain that we can fill all of them, simply because of the adjustment we need to ensure that we remain within budget and not overspend. And hence, we're to go through an elaborate process of determining priorities from across the various branches and units, including regions, to ensure that we remain within budget. And that process has been concluded, the recruitment plan presented to ESCO and adopted by ESCO to be able to be taken forward. And that work, at best, could have only culminated around June, July, in respect of finalizing that recruitment plan. There's a report in respect of the number of people within this particular period that have left the department. There's 11 of them that are part of the presentation. And members had wanted to know who are those people and in what areas, what were the reasons for their departure. I think we had one person who had passed on, we had two resignations out of that 11, we had two dismissals due to disciplinary processes, and we had one retirement which happened around May, and early retirement one, and four transfers. That is the total number of the people who have left the system during April 1 and September in that regard. Now, the vacancy rate and the report around our vacancies does not include entities. Entities, as independent entities, report separately from the department. So the report on vacancy rates, filling of positions, relate only strictly to the main vote, GPWI main vote, and does not include the entities. The next point I needed maybe to raise as well, in respect of filling of position especially at the high level. One of the things that we have done as a department, obviously as guided by Minister and the Deputy Minister, is that we had to include in our annual performance plan a milestone of meeting the gender balance and also for filling of position by people with disabilities. It is in the annual performance plan. But also, it has also gone into the performance agreement of the DG Corporate Service to ensure that we begin to move toward 50-50% between the gender balance and the 2% for people with disabilities. If you have looked at the advert that we posted this weekend on ESA, if you can read right from the top there, you will see the message that begins to indicate that the department is going to display bias in favor of a female candidate and people with disabilities. And clearly there is a determination and a focus from the side of the department to begin to drive recruitment to ensure that we meet this target. It is part of the plan, and whatever adverts are going to follow, including those beyond yesterday, are going to follow the same trends. Currently, as we speak, the recruitment section within the department is engaging with each of the units, all of them across the department, including regions, to ring fence a certain number of positions from their vacancies that must be position set aside for strictly filling by female candidates and people with disabilities. That is the other intervention that has been put into place. In respect of then also ensuring that we drive the recruitment program, yes, we've gone beyond, it's post-COVID now, and therefore there is earnest focus on beginning to drive the recruitment program. But one of the challenges that we need to get around it as quick as possible, it is the participation of each of the units into the recruitment process. Because the HR unit can do so much from a support point of view. But the people who are going to put together the committees to ensure that there is selection, we are shortlisting, we are interviewing, but it's not HR. HR provides support. And therefore, it is very important that each of the critical role players, they come to the party and ensure. One example that I've made is with regard to the CFO. The CFO has personally driven the recruitment from the head of finance to the extent that he's leading in the department. He has been able to fill all his critical posts as we speak now, during this very same period that we're complaining about of the restraint by court. He has been able to push that. I think his last selection process was last week, but it was last Friday, but it has been last Friday going right back that he has been driving. But as we speak now, in the department, there is a beehive of activity of the various units playing ball and ensuring that they contribute towards us driving the recruitment process. The recruitment process is taking place as we speak tomorrow, on Thursday, I'll be participating, Thursday and Friday, I'll be participating in several positions in terms of the selection process as a panelist in those processes. So there are efforts, I think, within the department to begin to drive the recruitment efforts. Now, I've said earlier that if you look at the total establishment that results in this 11% vacancy rate, I said it's almost about total 84 people for the main vote only that will be driving. And that will be the focus insofar as the main vote is concerned, but I have indicated it will not be everyone within that vote because we have to remain within the budget. It will be difficult if we can overspend in this particular financial year, because pressure is very clear. We must remain within our budget baseline, insofar that is concerned. And I hope I've covered the issues raised by the Honorable Shabalala, the Honorable Skalvik, in respect of the questions around that. The contract position we have for the main groups, if I may just add, it's about 14 people, the bulk of who come from ministry within the main board, and those are appointments linked to the term of office of ministry. In that regard, there'll be about three within the main board that are within the department on those contracts. The bigger bulk of contracts would, for in all intents and purposes, be on the side of the PMGA, insofar as that is concerned. Let me pause there. I hope I've covered all the questions, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, if I can just make one last point before the next round.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, and your team on the responses that you have provided. I'm then now inviting members for the second round of the questions. I can see Honorable Hicklin's hand, so you're going to be number one. Honorable Shabalala, you're going to be number two in terms of the second round. I don't see any other hands. I know Honorable Tring has a challenge of raising the hand in the... But I don't know whether Honorable Tring, you
no, I'm
also
fine.
Want...
I'm fine, Chair.
You are fine, eh? You are covered by the responses. Okay.
Honorable Chair, can I just make two additions before the members come in?
Okay, Honorable Minister, over to you.
Yes,
apologies, members will come after the minister.
Yes. Honorable Chair, I've just got some more reports that I want to make available to the committee. And the one report is that, you know, the procurement strategies that we have implemented with procurement and also with tenders, and where we have subjected the procurement and tenders to due diligence. We have subjected 105 procurement processes to due diligence and also 70 tenders to due diligence. That is part of our anti-corruption strategy, and I can make that report available to members. The second report, Chairperson, is about the opening up of the National Bid Adjudication Committee to the public to ensure transparency. Some of the departments and the regions have opened up since last year, November. It was a bit of a struggle to get the proper venues where people could come and observe the procurement processes. But and the rest of our regions have started to implement the opening of the bid adjudication committees to the public as from the 1st of April. So I can also provide that report to the committee. And then I've also requested, and I got the report yesterday, a briefing on the work being done by the International Labour Organization to EPWP, just to understand exactly what service they are providing and where are they providing assistance to EPWP. The report that I received seemed that they are providing assistance with policy development and then skills and capacity development and some technical support on EPWP on provincial roads. Now, I've just recently seen the provincial road there in Northwest that was on the television. But that, of course, is under the provincial minister of public works there. And then they also provide research support. They provide advocacy support for public employment programs. So I can also submit this report to the committee, and I will make sure that they send it today still for information to the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
There's someone who's speaking.
Chair?
Yeah.
I don't know what. Oh, am I the second one?
You are.
Oh, okay. Yes,
okay.
I saw you. It is Honorable Hicklin, then Honorable Shabalala. I don't see any.
Thank you so much, Chair. Minister, my head really just shot bolt upright when I heard you say that yet again with the DDG, there are problems in terms of the process not having been followed. There's a lovely old saying in Afrikaans, that slaan my dronk. How is it possible that we yet again have a situation where process hasn't been followed with the appointment of a DDG. I really, really, really need to raise this with the strongest condemnation that I can. But that wasn't my initial reason for actually talking. You did address it to an extent in talking about what supplementary or policy developments there is for the EPWP program. But we have been the sixth administration, and I can only talk from my time. I've been around for about 18 months now, and we constantly speak about what kind of support we're going to be giving to both provincial and local legislatures in terms of assistance with NGOs to make sure that they do register correctly, that they do fulfill their obligations. We honestly and truly have to make it a priority. In the same way as ESA has suddenly found the ability to have 9,764 people appointed to do specific jobs. DPWI needs to appoint one human being who is going to be able to effectively drive training in terms of EPWP compliance. Because until we do that, we are not going to achieve our objective. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I have noted in my notes here the question about procurement, but for me it was around the procurement plan. Because moving forward, when you aim at spending some money in a short space of time without fiscal dumping, you need to have a clear a procurement plan. I'm not sure whether it talks to the strategy as well, but I had noted that. The issue about the vacancy rate, I hear that the vacancy rate is at 11%. But for me, I am concerned to say that if you include the entities, like I have said with the CIDP that came to us and made the presentation, and it was endorsed by the full committee, and I was just wondering where we are with that, or are we going to also blame it on COVID? I don't know. It's a very concerning issue about the wrong or not following the procedure in appointing the DDG. I'm just wondering whether that DDG was already at work, or is it in the employ, or should that individual be taken out and they restart the process. I am not sure, but maybe one needs also to do the research with the Public Service Commission to understand such issues. But no one had anticipated this one from our department. And I'm just wondering how many have we defaulted on this appointment? Safe to say, Chairperson, we are aspiring to have a capable state. The capable state can only take us to the recovery of the economy. But I must say that, or maybe wish, if not a plead with the leadership of this department, as I said in my debate last time, that the only way that you can achieve the economic recovery as of now is to have a stable department and then a professional department. But I am sorry to say that there are elements of instability and skirmish that we have observed in the past. And the issue of contracts acting really antagonistic in nature and borders on human rights. I am happy to hear the minister saying they are going to also discuss this issue, because human beings have a face. Behind that face, there is a dignity and a family, and there is livelihood that goes together with the dignity of that person. You cannot have people that on daily basis they don't know where they are, their next bread will come from. Better say you don't have the job, look for the job, you are permanent, or what happens with you. This month, 2 month year extension should really be not the feature of the future of this department. They,
Honorable Shabalala? I think we have lost Honorable Shabalala.
But this is to be the chairperson the contract ne stability within the department. I wonder whether you was I audible on around those.
Yeah. And then we lost you when you were talking on the issue of someone having family and all that.
Yes, I said, chairperson, the issue of contract has to do with livelihood, has to do with the human rights, has to do with the dignity of each individual. I hope that in the future, that should not be the feature of this department moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. Just few comments from me, Minister, for this second round. One, it is really worrying to see that, in fact, we are in mid-year now when we talk about the second quarter, and when we have programs that have spent so far 2% of their budget and 7%, much as there are reasons, but it is a worrying factor. I think that one we must just clearly indicate. And the reason we wanted this report is because we could see after the first quarter that there's going to be a challenge. Minister, when there was a response on the issue of program four, on the issue of policy and research, nothing was said about the public works bill. Nothing was said about public works bill. And I think, Minister, it would be good and to your advantage as the Minister of Public Works and Department to ensure that this term, that bill sees the light of the day, because it will also assist even in managing properly even this new branch that has been added in the department, which is ESA. So that one is a serious concern, and when you hear what is being said about that program, nothing is being said about this bill, then you get worried. Minister, if we can be assisted even after this meeting about the just a clear indication, I understand that this is a new department, and I understand that the president, when he talked about the reconstruction and recovery plan, he talked about the blended budget funding, not budget, blended funding, that is the private, the public-private ownership. But with the team that is coming from the private sector being seconded in the department, I think it is then proper, Minister, that even if it is after this meeting, you would finish us with a detailed report that indicates who are these people and two, what are going to be their functions. I understand that there is a structure, as Dr. Ramakgopa indicated last time, that there's going to be a structure of a team of technocrats that is going to be there, so that we source funding for this infrastructure investment plan. But we would like then to see the name. Remember, Minister, is that we're talking about transformation. We have also talked about transformation. So we don't want to see in these new people that are being seconded in this department, if I may put it crudely, white male personnel. We don't want to see that. We would like to see there are many engineers out there, black one, young one, and women. So out of the 40 that is being seconded, I think you also have an advantage to also demand from the private sector that you would want women, because you are transforming the department. So you can't then continue bringing in
white male personnel in the new department. Other issues, Minister, I will talk when we round off and close off the meeting. Over to you, Minister, and your team. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Chairperson, I have just received the letter yesterday from DPSA as to why the DDG post was not approved and why the recommendation can't be tabled before Cabinet. And I can certainly share the letter with Chairperson. I'll send it to you after the meeting. But they're really noting that there's been non-compliance with a regulatory requirement in support of the recruitment process. The department is advised to conduct a job evaluation as per DPSA Circular 31 of 2020 to ascertain the relevant requirements for the post and thereafter re-advertise the post. I'm just quoting from that letter. I will send Chairperson a copy of that letter, the point raised by Honourable Yeakland. Now, we also have on the call today to respond to the training of EPWP, the acting DDG, CJ Abrams, and I will ask her to answer Honourable Yeakland on the training side. Honourable Shabalala, you make very valuable points. What we have attempted to do in this is the first financial year that we are in now for the sixth administration. We've attempted right at the beginning of the budgeting process, Honourable Members, to ensure that what goes onto the budget for to request for an allocation must be tender ready. Not ask for money and then must still go and do an EIA or any of the regulatory processes. And the initial project that was submitted to the department for funding, request for funding, it was over 1,000 projects. I sat with the department and we looked at what we have to deliver in terms of our annual performance plan, what we have to deliver within the MSDS framework, and took us a number of what I call vanity projects. And we reduced the over 1,000 projects to just over 220. So we have attempted to put projects on the budget that we know at least will be completed. And so there was a tender demand plan. So right up front, before the financial year started, the tender demand plan was there. And so what the department then had to do was to prioritize the tenders to make sure that the big ones, the complex ones, that we get them out first. And again, the tender demand plan can also be made available to the committee. Then the issue of the capable state is one of the seven key priorities of the sixth administration, to build a capable state. I always say, Chairperson, that, you know, people like to talk about a developmental state. A developmental state has to be delivered by the public service. And have we made sure that the public service understood and internalized that we want to build a developmental state? So the capacity of the state, and we've learned many lessons now with the establishment of the infrastructure department, Chairperson. We had to look out of all of the many projects all over the country that's unfinished, where it was not concluded on time, on budget. So there were valuable lessons that we could learn from that process. And so that we avoid those pitfalls of the fifth administration in delivering infrastructure. Because infrastructure, we have to look at the whole pipeline, you know, the value chain from where it's starting. And that's why we have invested more money now into project preparation. Because if that project is not properly prepared to de-risk the project so that you can pick up the problems as even before the project starts. So National Treasury has allocated 440 million rand towards assisting us to make sure that we do a proper project preparation. That amount of money is not enough, Chairperson. And that's why last week, Tuesday and Wednesday, we had a project preparation round table. And again, we had all the multilateral institutes, the local banks, to say to them, we then selected 25 projects where we need funding from over and above the 440 million from National Treasury. And we pitched that to the international community. That's why both the DiEM and myself could not be in the committee last week, because we had to share and leading the working groups asking for assistance with project preparation. So but then in the end, you know, the capability of the state is tested, and especially now where we have to do things differently and faster, there are major weaknesses within the system that need to be addressed. Also, Honourable Shabalala raised the issue of contracts. I agree with you, Honourable Member, that we shouldn't have contract positions additional to the staff establishment. Because what is happening, it's very easy, the process is much easier to bring a person in on contract than having to advertise that post. And so right in the beginning of the financial year, we sat down with HR and we showed all the departments where they had like 30, 40 vacancies, but they had more people on contract than what is supposed to be in the staff structure. So that is also work in progress. But again, you know, I've had a discussion with the DDG, Clark Mchiza, we now have to speed up the issue of recruitment. And also, I have refused to appoint further acting, because I've now said that the administration will operate without that acting position until you fill that position so that we deal with the members' concerns of all the additional contract staff to the staff establishment. Chairperson, I share your concern. 5% women. I've met for the first time in my life a young black woman who's an actuary, is also working for us. So we are very, without apology, very biased towards women, because this built environment industry is very, very male dominated. So part of making sure in the rollout of the infrastructure investment plan, the first phase, we bring in as many, many women as possible. But Chairperson, we will be reporting to you regularly, like I'm doing today in the member statement, but certainly, you know, even if on a monthly basis, we can report to the portfolio committee of progress of the implementation of the infrastructure investment plan, because that is key to the whole economic reconstruction and recovery plan of government. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister. Again, a word of appreciation on the frank responses that you have received from yourself and to the team. But Minister, just few things in my rounding up of the meeting. As much as we appreciate that there is an added branch, in fact, a new responsibility that on the sixth term, the President added on public works, which is infrastructure. But it can then be that every energy and the budget of the department are going to be shifted to this new branch. We also understand, Minister, that at this time, after meet COVID-19, when the socio-economic challenges have arisen and the economy needs to be revived in our country. And we know that the infrastructure development or infrastructure investment plan is the road to do that. But that doesn't mean that all other responsibilities, and in fact the main responsibility of public works as the department, has to be shifted out or be left aside. So what we're saying, Minister, is that to me, what is happening now is that the department seems as if it is shifting the focus, is concentrating more so, that's my observation, and I believe that many members would agree with me, Minister, based on the presentation that you've just given us. You focus, yes, it is correct that something must be done to revive the economy, but that doesn't mean that the department must be left in limbo. A point, in fact, is this one that we are reflecting upon of the Public Works Act that will also assist even in managing the new branch that has been added to the department. It will also strengthen the mandate of Public Works Minister. And to Minister, that you are apologizing, but we cannot accept an apology on the fact that the official, they're not doing their work. Because you're apologizing for them not appointing a service provider to deal with the regulations of GIAMA, to deal also with the regulations of the Infrastructure Act. It can't be on that you have to come here and apologize. I know you are pushing them, but I think it is clear that you need to push more. You need to push more. We are taking on what you have committed here, that some of these things that you have mentioned will be done before the end of the year. It means Minister will then make a follow-up even in our statement we're going to issue today. We're going to talk on the fact that the honorable members have raised. There are many regulations that are outstanding
in the department that needs to be done. And now the program that is also supposed to ensure that all the research and the policy is the one that is spending less, which means that the officials are not doing their work. So it means that you have to follow after them. You need to crack your whip, Minister, on them. So that even the ISA that has been added, it can be seen as the one now taking all what is supposed to be done by the department. Hoping that, Minister, you will make a follow-up on the issue that you have received from the DPSA. The reality is that the post for the DDG of EPWP, that one has to be filled as of yesterday. So I hope that you will make a follow-up on that one. Remember that EPWP talks to the most vulnerable of our society. It talks to the majority of the population of South Africa. So that one, it needs to be sorted out, and we ensure that it is up and running, that advert it has to run out. Once we have corrected all that the DPSA has raised, then you have to make follow up. Thank you again, Minister, for the frank responses and the presentations that you have done in the committee. If there are any issues that the members felt that they have not been answered properly, then they will write questions which will expect in return responses to them. If in the afternoon, honourable members, in the plenary, the minister will be making a statement on the infrastructure investment plan and the recovery plan. I understand that all the parties in the assembly will be responding to that. Good luck to all those that will be speaking. Good luck to you, Minister. We'll then would ask the Minister and her team to then recuse us by leaving the meeting so that we deal with the minutes of the last meeting. Thank you again, Minister. And thank you again, honorable members, for your robust engagement in the report that we have given. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Can I just give Honourable Members the assurance that as part of the infrastructure family, we continue to support the DBSA as the implementing agency. We continue to support KUGA as the implementing agency. We continue to support IDT as an implementing agency, because ISA is not over the role of the implementing agencies and other governments. But thank you for my mandate. They've all heard the chairperson say I must push more, and I'm going to quote you all the time, person, to say that I must push more, as long as they don't accuse me of interfering in the administration. Thank you very much, and God bless.
Thank you, Minister. Ms. Martinez.
Thank you, Chairperson. And the minutes of the meeting that we are about to consider was